Turn your Bibles to Exodus, the 14th chapter. Let us look to the Lord for a moment. Loving Heavenly Father, Father of our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, once again we thank Thee for the opportunity of being gathered with some of God's people and gathered around Thy precious Word. We just pray that as we go into the Word, that not so much the speaker, but the very Word itself will have its desired effect on hearts. For this is God's letter to us and our way of speaking to God is through prayer. So we just ask that Thou would open our spiritual minds and eyes, that we might see and observe wonderful things from Thy Word. These things we ask in His name and for His sake. Amen. Now, before we get into it, we have to go back a little bit. Well, maybe I'll just mention it. To begin with, there were four of the four. As to Aaron's rod, it devoured the rods or the snakes, serpents, that the magicians had. That in itself should have told them something. And then the blood came into the being. All of the water became blood. And then, of course, the first test that was put to them, Pharaoh said that they could have their worship. But where? In the land. And mind you, Satan wants you to stay in the land. Satan wants to keep hold of you. And if you're a child of God, he wants to trip you up. He doesn't want you to be separate. God says to come out from among them and be separate. But just how separate are we? Then secondly, the flies. In Exodus 8:25, it was in the land. Third, ye shall not go very far away. But he was always trying to keep them close. And then he said he could go, they could go, all of the men, nobody else. Well, if the families are going to be left behind, what's it going to do? The people are coming back. And then only your flocks were to be left behind. Well, how in the world were they going to worship without their flocks? There was always something to pull them back. Well, Satan always has something here to try to draw us back, to try to fool us, to try to deceive us. Then ultimately, we find that the blood was shed, the lamb. And all of those that were under the blood were saved alive. And of course, we know that most of them were Jewish people. But even the Jewish person, if they were not under the blood, the first died. First child died. The first of the animals died. Well, right now, if you're not under the blood of Christ, death hovers over your head. Really, you're spiritually dead. So you better wake up. We don't know when the Lord's going to call us. We don't know when the Lord's going to return. For all of us that are saved, we're looking for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you're not looking for that, something's wrong. Some people will say, I have a house to paint. Well, what difference is it if you're going to be away? Now, others may be in school. Well, I've got to study for certain classes. Well, what difference are those classes if you're going to be with the Lord? We're going to be with Him and we're going to be like Him. And this is the picture here of Israel being separated from the enemies of God's people. You and I, as sons and daughters of God, should be separated from the world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. All right? See if I can find my little... Now, if you get one of these things, don't ever play with it. They were here at Ramesses. And I got some measurements here. From Sukkah, Ramesses to Sukkah is roughly 50 miles. And then from there up to the ocean, 50 miles. And from there over to Alexandria. Right over in about here is where Alexandria is, but 130 miles. All of this is Goshen. That's where the Israelites lived. They were there because of their flocks. All of the food was there, the grass, everything green. All right? When they left, they first went to Sukkoth. Right there. Now, originally, this great lake, or great bitter lake, is also called the Lake of Reeds. But originally, from here to here, was all one. It was all part of the Red Sea. So they believe that when he came, the Israelites came down, they crossed right about in there somewhere. Right in here is where the Red Sea was opened up. Of course, it was undoubtedly even wider than it is there. All right, let us begin reading at verse 10, chapter 14 of Exodus. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were in great fear, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, or Jehovah. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Was there anyone that twisted their arms and made them stay there? No, they had been under the burdens that Egypt had put upon them. And even the straw was taken away from them. And they still had to supply the same number of brick. And the straw was used in brick making. So that they had to go out and search the fields to get straw to continue the brickwork, instead of having it delivered to them. So the Pharaoh was putting more and more burden on them. But we see how ridiculous even this is. But we find that in the world. They wanted to get rid of all the boys, remember? Back in the time of Moses. So that there would be no more Israelites. Well, how in the world are you going to keep your servants or your slaves if you get rid of them in that way? So it doesn't matter how they went around it, the slaves were still going to be gone. All right, over in verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. So they were right about here. And on the north side of them, this side here, was a mountain. On the south side was another mountain. They had the Great Bitter Lake or the Red Sea right here, right behind them. And of course, Pharaoh was coming down across here to try to take them. What a situation. But what had God told them? He was going to free them. He was going to deliver them. And you know, the hardest thing for you and I as a child of God is to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Stand still and see the work of the Lord in our eyes. We always want to rush out. We either rush ahead or we drag behind. How much better to walk hand in hand with the Lord. So this is what Moses tells them. Fear not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. The Lord would complete it. They couldn't do a thing. They were absolutely helpless. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Another thing that's hard for most of us to do. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on a dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and will get me I will get me honor over Pharaoh and over his host and over his chariots and over his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am Jehovah, when I have gotten me honor over Pharaoh, over his chariots, and over his horsemen. And the angel of God, who went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and stood with a cloud and darkness to the was a cloud of darkness to them, but it gave light by the night to these, that's the Israelites, so that the one came not near the other all the night. Now, you've got over 2 million people, and you bring them together. How do you control them? You ever stop and think of that? 2 million people plus. Now, why did God raise up Moses? Did you ever think of that? If we were to, we're not going to go back to it, but if we were to go to Exodus 4:10, what did Moses tell God? That he wasn't a good speaker. That he wasn't able to speak with Pharaoh. But I want you to turn to Acts, the seventh chapter of Acts. Acts 7, verse 22. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in what? In words. And in deeds. So what is this telling us about Moses? He was trained in all of the wisdom of Egypt. Well, he was raised up by Pharaoh's son, if you remember, as though he were the son of Pharaoh. He was very likely in a position that he would be the next Pharaoh. But God had something in mind for him. Now, he had been away from Egypt how long? 40 years. He hadn't been speaking the Egyptian language. So very likely he was a little slow at it. But he could speak. But even more than that, it says he was what? Mighty in deeds. He was trained to be a what? A warrior. A soldier. Literally a general. This is the reason God had him prepared. He used the enemy of his own people to literally train up the man that he was going to use. Verse 19. And the angel of God went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and as a pillar of a cloud went from before their face and stood behind them, and it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of the Israelites, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and Jehovah caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all the night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. Now, how big would the highway through the Red Sea have to be for 4 million people to get through there in the night? Roughly about mid-morning. Can you imagine how wide that had to be? All right, another illustration. God says that the hordes of the east would cross the Euphrates rivers. This is, we'll be gone. Saints will be gone. In the last days. 2 million or 2 billion soldiers. China has that many in under arms right now. If they crossed bridges, they'd spend a lifetime getting across there. But you know, the Lord used another man that is supposed to be executed, I guess, before long. I don't know what's ever going to come of it. Saddam Hussein. He built a big dam across the Euphrates River. Now, when these hordes of the east come across from the east, what do? They just close the dam. And it'll be dry. And they can walk across the riverbed. When the Israelites got to the River Jordan and crossed, do you know how far it was? It was from Jericho all the way up to Adam. You know how far that is? Approximately 20 miles. God stopped the waters up at Adam on a Jordan River. And when the Israelites went across, there was all of that breadth. It wasn't just a little channel. So, you know, we think of this as a wonder. In fact, it's probably the greatest miracle took place in the Old Testament. The opening of the Red Sea for the Israelites to go through. The opening of the Jordan for them to go through late, at a later date, roughly 40 years. The River Jordan at that time was in flood stage. You didn't cross it. God stopped. Just like he stopped or opened up the Red Sea. Okay, the enemies of God's people were coming through after them, or they would be. Verse 21, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. And Jehovah caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on the right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them in the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians. Now undoubtedly they were starting to catch up to some of the Israelites. So God troubled them. It took off their chariot wheels, that which ought to slow you down. And they drove them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, these are the soldiers now, let us flee from the face of Israel, for Jehovah fighteth for them against the Egyptians. And Jehovah said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea, and the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. Not one. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus Jehovah saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. Now you know, as Israel would be going in against these other countries, what were they to fight with? Remember, they were slaves. They just picked up their things, they got what they could from the Egyptians, and they took off. They had to have weapons. Now, when these Egyptians were washed ashore, there's your weapons. They had their swords and everything with them. But the Lord took care of them as far as their needs in self-defense. You and I that know Christ is our Savior, we got a sword too, you know. How well do we know it? The Word of God. Can all of us sit down and open the Bible and show someone the way to Christ? Or if someone has doubts, can we show them other verses to give them encouragement, to give them assurance? The Bible is our weapon. Of course, prayer is the power behind it. Here in verse 15, we find that then sang Moses and the children of Israel, and this song unto Jehovah, and spoke, saying, I will sing unto Jehovah, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. Jehovah is my strength and song, and he is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. Jehovah is a man of war. Jehovah is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths are covered over them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Jehovah, has become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Jehovah, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sentest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. I'd like to look at Zechariah, if you don't mind. Zechariah chapter 4. Verse 6. I think Robbie was speaking on this last week or so. The latter part of it. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith Jehovah of hosts. You and I can't conquer in our own power. And by the way, we're fighting a spiritual battle. It's the Lord God that has to do it. And as far as what God expects out of us, he expects us to sow the seed. Really, we're seed sowers. We cast the seed, the Holy Spirit will see that there's fruit. And you know, sometimes we may not see any fruit. And we can get discouraged. Most here have heard me tell the story of a dear sister that was up in the Aleutian Islands. She spent her whole life there. She never saw a single soul saved. The most of us would feel God doesn't want us here. But you know what she was doing? She was plowing. She was preparing the soil. The Lord took her home to glory. A young couple came in and took her place. Within 2 years, every person on that island had come to know Christ as Savior. But who had done the work? That dear sister. And how much heartache it must have been when she never saw anyone getting saved. But she was what? Faithful. That's what God expects out of us. Faithful. Whether we see results or don't see results. We're to stick it out. And sometimes, I think all of us have run into it, you want to just throw up your hands and what's the use? I dare say she felt that way many a time. So what do? Sow the seed. I've got a few notes down here that were written some time ago. See if I can make them out. We find nothing of self in this song. Its doings, its sayings, its feelings, or fruits. It's all Jehovah. In this song of Moses, everything is Jehovah, nothing of self. To this point, not a note of praise from the Israelites for all that God had done, even the night that they were under the blood. We don't read anywhere where there was praise. It may have been, but no words noted. They could cry as to their deep sorrow among the brick hills. They could cry of unbelief, though they were surrounded by insurmountable difficulties. But then here we find a song after their engagement and their significant baptism in the cloud that protected them. And there's their baptism as though when they went through the Red Sea. Verse 8. With the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The floods stood upright as an heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with thy wind. The sea covered them. They sank as lead to the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Jehovah, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy hand, thy right hand. The earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people whom thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength and unto thy holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold of the inhabitants of Philistia. Then the chiefs of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling, shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of thine arm, they shall be as still as a stone. Till thy people pass over, O Jehovah, till the people pass over whom thou hast purchased. And what a purchase at blood. And that's a picture of us being purchased by blood, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's been nothing under the sun that cost as much as you and I. And you know, many times we think we're worthless, we're useless. If we know the Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior, and we actually become worthless, God's going to take us home. He's not going to leave us here. As long as we're here, He has a purpose for us. And friend, if you're not saved, you're left here, giving you maybe another chance to trust the Lord as your personal Savior. Verse 17, Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Jehovah, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in, and the sanctuary, O Jehovah, which thy hands have established. Jehovah shall reign forever and ever. For the horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with his horsemen into the sea, and Jehovah brought again the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. And Miriam and the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and dances. And Miriam answered them, Sing ye to Jehovah, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider hath he thrown into the sea. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out of the wilderness of Sur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness, and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. Now what they did, Moses' song and Miriam's was right in around here, and then they traveled on down here to Marah. And you see how quickly they forgot what God had done. They couldn't drink the water. It was bitter. But they had, at first, they turned to the right place, God. They looked to God. And then, of course, to Moses. And then they blamed God for it. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried unto Jehovah. And Jehovah showed him a tree, which when he had cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he tested them, and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of Jehovah thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, and I am Jehovah that healeth thee. And they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water, and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. Let's look at John 6. And 51. This place that they had come to at last was a place of peace, a place of rest. They rested in God. John 6:51, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If any man have eat of this bread, he shall live forever, and the bread that I give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. When God put man on this earth, he put man here for fellowship. Now some people will say, well, why didn't he make it so I couldn't sin? Well, you'd be nothing more than a puppet. You can't have fellowship with a puppet. But God knew before man was ever created what Adam would do. God was not caught by surprise. When he said, let us make man in our image, he was looking past Adam, down through the corridors of time, all the way to Calvary, where his son would take the place for you and me. Over here where the tree was cut and thrown into the waters, what would the tree speak to us of? Speak to us of the cross of Calvary. Over in Hebrews the 12th chapter, first two verses. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, if you're going to run a race, you don't put a knapsack on your back full of lead. You get rid of every weight, everything that will slow you down. And when I was in sports, even I went to the extreme that my hair, you could just see, just turned a wee bit here, and the rest of it just didn't have to worry about combing it. Take a shower, run your hand through it, and you're ready to go. But an athlete's going to do everything that will help his race, help him in the race. The child of God, each of us, should be doing what we can to run the race that God has set before us. And I think everyone here, or almost everyone, has at least professed Christ as Savior. Well, then he's also our commander. And for those of us that have been in the military, if your commanding officer asks you to do something, you know what that asking literally is? It's a command. He's being nice. He's asking you, but you better do it. Well, for those of us that are saved and have followed the Lord the way we should be following, one thing would be baptism if you haven't been baptized. What's one thing the Lord asked us on his deathbed, essentially, this do in remembrance of me. You know, when we come to the breaking of bread, there usually aren't many people there. You go in amongst the denominations, there may be quite a few there, but they'll have a gospel meeting and then they'll tack the breaking of bread on 10 or 15 minutes after it's over. Is that worship? Not worship. Worship should be our main occupation, even throughout the day. We should always be speaking to the Lord. That doesn't mean we're down on our knees all the time. Everything that we do, everything that we say, every place we go, it should be done to the honor of the Lord. And when we fail, what are we supposed to do? Confess our sin. The child of God should keep short communication between his Lord. It's like a little child. He's done something wrong. Does he go and look for mama and daddy? No, he usually tries to hide until he gets the problem corrected. Once it's confessed, and whatever punishment may have to go with it is taking place, then the child is only too glad to be with mama and daddy. Well, that's the same thing with the child of God. If we're not living the way we should, even our prayer life isn't much. It's just like praying, and this prayer is not going any higher than that ceiling. So when we do error, sin, and we do, even if it's just in thought, confess it before the Lord. But friends, if there's one here that's not saved, you're on that broad road that leads to eternal damnation. Now, it isn't a popular theme with preaching today. In some places, you might be run out for doing it, but we don't hesitate here because the Word of God says so. I'm going to put an overlay on that, and it'll show you where the countries are today. A bunch of other things I was going to put here, but couldn't remember them anyway. Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the time that we've had together as God's dear people. We pray that all of us would take our responsibilities as sons and daughters of the Almighty, that we might be more conscious as to God's Word and what He expects out of us. We're not all going to be George Mueller's or any of the great speakers of the day or the great writers. But each of us has a significant place in this life as long as the Lord leaves us here. But wherever we are, we should be witnesses. We should be standing clear and straight for the Lord. Father, we just ask that thou art be with each of us. Take us all to our several homes in safety. These things we ask in his name and for his sake. Amen.